Larry.
Let's all get on record with the fact that Urban sucks. What a turd that guy is.
I would definitely describe it as ugly, hideous, you can say unpleasant, unappealing and all that.
My wife says I look like a teenager.
Jeff just wants so badly for someone else to be more embarrassing at this than him.
I'll be taking over for Jeff.
Go Jeff and nobody else matters. I would say he pretty much knows everything and the other guys are all just basically noise in the background.
Josh Sleepy Stern is sleeping again.
Such a jerk.
I'm cutting Josh. He's killing me.
He just looks like a guy who doesn't have any idea what's going on right now, and it's really not a good look.
Ahmed always does really good. Josh does horribly.
All right, Josh, hang up. We're calling Ahmed.
Yeah, we're done with you.
He clearly knows much more than you. It's very apparent. Well,
someone sabotage him.
This is what he gets for sleeping through the show.
He always understated Larry France.
Jeff Ehrman hates me.
No comment.
Larry touching on women. Story is sick. He's just trolling along trying to get people pissed off, and he succeeded.
That's just weak.
He just completely let Paul out.
Well, Paul will be there cracking his jokes. You know, he'll do his thing.
I cried twice yesterday, Larry.
Please don't let Paul talk about basketball.
Paul doesn't know jack shit. I'll just fart into the microphone for 15 minutes.
It's just almost embarrassing.
Make it simple, man. Our listeners aren't geniuses out there.
Hey, Chris, how you doing? You're on the air with Inside Maryland Sports Radio.
Oh, no.
We're getting trashed in the chat room, by the way.
So what are we talking about next?
Anything but Maryland sports. Those of you that come back next week, I'm sure it can't get any worse than this.
This is Chris Nagy, and you're listening to IMS Radio.
This is Scott Van Pelt, and you're listening to IMS Radio.
This is Gary Williams, and you're listening to IMS Radio.
Okay, guys, you are going to have to excuse me for being nostalgic for these first few episodes that I'm back here. This is an intro that we did, I think, in the middle of the third season I was involved with, late second or third. And I know it mentioned some of the old members of our crew, but it also mentioned our big guest today. And so, therefore, I thought it was well worth it to go down the memory lane.
Larry, I've had a long, stressful day, and that was just what I needed, man. Warm fuzzies.
Yeah.
I've definitely not heard that in forever. And
yeah.
It was epic.
Just hearing the dulcet tones of my voice insulting all of you. Really, this is my blood flowing, man.
Yeah, Chris was in there twice. And so since I'm on this nostalgic kick, we have Chris Nagy as our guest today. I thought, hey, let's go back and do this old intro. And I know there's some old team members from IMS mentioned in the clip, and I apologize for that. But I just couldn't help myself. I had to do it.
It's all right, man. History is history. We appreciate everybody.
And yeah.
We wouldn't be here without the team that got us here. And now we're moving along as the threesome for a while at least. So,
that's yes,
stuck with people.
Yes, we are. Let's see. Do I have any other? Here we go. This is one of my favorite clips. Paul, you and I.
Shazam.
What was that again?
It was one of the games that I play at the end of the show. Okay. And remember, all the people in the chat room would play along with the games, and I'd do fill in the blank. And the question was something to the effect of, if Diamond Stone commits to Maryland, your first reaction would be, and it was like to Paul, and Paul was like, hell yeah, or something, whatever. But and then we would always read off the best from the chat room, and someone said that. So Paul and I happened to do that together just like that. And
little did we know that Diamond Stone would randomly commit out of the blue on like a Tuesday night while I was packing for Disney World, and Paul would call me while I'm at the grocery store, and I would haul ass home just as frantic and panicked as you could imagine.
Jeff, did you say Disney World?
I'm still sore from Disney World.
Sore? What the hell?
I don't know. At one point, I decided to like take various things that you guys said and mash them together So that might have been one of those where you said, I'm still sore from something, and then you said something else about Disney World, and I just did that on purpose.
You're the king for a reason, Larry.
Yeah.
I guess Space Mountain was a little too tough for you, man. I don't know what's going on.
I was probably talking about just the walking around and all the people, and thank God I haven't had to go there in like 5 years.
Here's one I did of Paul where I did a similar thing.
I'd love to impregnate 17, 18-year-old kids.
My Disney World is way, way better than that.
Yeah.
There was a time where that might have been true. This is not that time.
Yeah. Yeah, I had fun with that, recording you guys and whatever you'd say. So, yeah, we mentioned that Chris Nocke is our guest. He's the color analyst for the Maryland Terrapins Radio Network. I think most people know that by now, but just in case you didn't. Also on the show tonight, the publisher of Maryland.247sports.com and Inside Maryland Sports, Jeff Ehrman, the Ed Helms of IMS Radio, Paul Douglas, is here, and I am Larry France. You love that analogy, don't you, Paul?
Not bad. Like I said, I had a little too much Ed Helms that I'm comfortable with. I've been making Hangover references, so that's fair.
I'm just happy to be Bradley Cooper.
And that makes me Zach Galifianakis.
I'm not sure anybody made that determination.
My mother-in-law actually has compared, I hate to say it, but she's compared me to Zach Galifianakis, which is, I don't know how I feel about that. But
I don't see it at all.
The humor and not the appearance.
I don't see the humor either.
I see me way more Zach Galifianakis, as much as I hate to say it.
Yeah, you're the happy-go-lucky guy of the crew, so that makes sense.
I'm the one who would roofie all of us on a road trip, so there you go.
He's definitely the one to make the awkward statement to a high school kid. Come along when appropriate.
Let's see. Do I have me asking Jeffrey Poehler, are you going to get much bigger? I don't think I have that one. I do have this. Man. Hang on. The women's team, man, are they hot? I was talking about them winning a lot of games, but
that's a good poll with the are you gonna get them? Who was that? Was
Jeffrey Poehler.
Yeah, it was the kid that decommitted from
Ohio. And then
he
went to West Virginia, right?
Yeah.
Something like that, and then really never amounted to anything.
He went to not Maryland, that's all I know.
Larry was like, so Jeffrey, are you gonna get much bigger? Dead silence.
I said it exactly like that too.
Yeah.
He laughed and he said, I don't know, something about his doctor or something. Also, this is my newest clip.
This is James Graham and you are listening to IMS Radio.
There we go.
He was great,
and I think he's going to be great on the court as well, which leads us right into the main portion of our show this week, which is the basketball preview. The season starts two nights from now.
Get excited.
Well, it's Maryland basketball.
Exactly. Better than not Maryland basketball.
Look, I have one.
It might be the way things are going. It might be not basketball.
Yeah, it's looking a whole like not basketball, given that other teams are already canceling games. But
you think so?
I don't know, man. I mean, basketball is such a unique environment. I mean, there's less players, but everybody is so kind of, you know, always together and always, you know, kind of doing the same stuff.
Indoors.
I imagine. Yeah, it takes one staff guy or one walk-on or one player, and the whole team's going to be done for, you know, most of a month. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting situation.
Wednesday night, they play Old Dominion. And according to Bart Torvik, they only have a 62% chance to win. Wow. So, yeah. So they're only -3. And this,
I haven't done my due diligence. I'll be writing about it tomorrow. ODU must be.
I've done a lot of due diligence for this show.
Yeah.
All right. I've done exactly zero diligence, but I'm guessing the reason that Torvik number is so bad is because Maryland lost so much in Jalen and
Right. If you want to jump to that, I had that little later on going into projections and talking about those kind of things. That's okay. I did crunch a lot of numbers on Bart Torvik. Just for FYI, last year he had Jalen Smith and Anthony Cowan as two of the top 20 players in the country. They are both gone. They were rated 5.1 and 5.0 respectively. This year, he's got Aaron Wiggins rated at 3.6, Daryl Morsell 2.9, Eric Ayala 2.9, Dante Scott 2.6, Jairus Hamilton at 2, Marcus Dockery 1.9, and then a big drop off. Galen Smith.
What does that mean? Is that like a GPA kind of scale or what?
Yeah, it's like it's an acronym for his rating system, and it's like Poor Patuga or something like that, and it's just for all the different stats that he uses to create the score for the player. All the way down.
The idea being Maryland's two best players last year were significantly higher rated in his.
Yes. And it's
than any of the guys.
Not exactly breaking news.
It's clearly not breaking news, and probably has an effect at least until the season gets going. I think a lot of these statistical models kind of struggle to deal with new players and incoming freshmen and things like that.
Yeah, this is basically like WAR in baseball. So it's sort of like above replacement level. Right. So if Marcus Dockery is a 1.9, he's 1.9 better than what your average player would be.
Right. He's never played a minute of college basketball. So you're just
guessing metrics, at that point.
Those analytics, you're just guessing early in the season because they don't know how good Aquan Smart is, you know? I mean, they have an idea on like Daryl Morsell, but there's so much turnover in basketball.
I did a bunch of interesting things. I crunched some cool numbers in his rating system. And he's got every player in the country, and he has them listed by their height. So just throwing it out there to you guys. How many players out of 4,566 do you think in the entire country are over 7 feet tall, 7 feet or higher, out of 4,566?
50.
I think that's high. I'll say.
Yeah, it's probably high.
22.
It is 92.
No way. 92 yeah. Seven-footers?
Yep.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yep, 92. How many do you think are under 6 feet tall?
300.
Wow, that's tricky. Lower levels.
Lower levels, you're going to have some.
It's still hard to even get a scholarship under 6 feet. Unless you're like Chris Likes or Anthony Cowan. I'll say 180.
Paul, what did you say?
300.
It is 230. What do you think is the average height of Division I basketball players? 4,566 players. The average height?
6'6".
6'3".
It is 6'5.1 inches.
Yeah, I'm so much better at this than Jeff.
Really? Yeah. All right, now,
pay me for this.
Only in the Big Ten, out of 189 players, how many are over 7 feet? 7 feet or higher?
It's probably like Luke Garza and a couple bench whiteys, so I'd say like five.
Jeff? We got five in the chat room guess as well.
I'd say nine.
It is six. Paul wins again. How many players under 6 feet in the Big Ten? Remember, this counts anyone.
Does include walk-ons?
Anyone who is registered on Bart Torvik. So probably if some walk-ons are going to get some playing time, then yeah.
You're like 15.
Let's see, there's 14 teams. Does the average team have a guy under?
Everybody's got a walk-on under 6 foot.
Yeah, most of those walk-ons are still like 6'4 dudes who are just really good in high school but not good enough. I'll say eight.
It is six. Good job, Jeff.
Okay.
About time, Jesus.
And I was going to ask the average height, but the average height is 6'5.6", so a full half inch taller than the rest of the country on average. Okay, one more. Out of 4,566 players, how many are freshmen, juniors, freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior?
Any guess?
No. By year. First of all, what year do you think is the most?
Senior. Because there's going to be graduating seniors, too. There's going to be redshirt seniors.
I'll say freshman because guys leave constantly.
It is freshman, Jeff, again. What a comeback by Jeff.
Oh, you suck at this.
Yeah, well, I lost interest in this like 10 minutes ago.
Okay, sorry. Does that mean the chat room and the listeners lost interest as well?
I don't care what they're doing.
Keep going. It's interesting.
Freshman, 1,233. Sophomores, 1,103. And there's actually more juniors than sophomores, 1,209. And then seniors, the fewest, Paul, 1,021, barely over 1,000.
I assume there would be redshirt seniors.
And Maryland has what, one of those seniors or two of those seniors?
Yes, Daryl Morcell and Galen Smith.
Yeah, that's it.
So, one more. In his ratings for Big Ten players, you heard me list off the Maryland players. Aaron Wiggins is his highest at 3.6. That is the 22nd rated in the Big Ten. So he has Maryland's highest rated players, the 22nd best in the Big Ten. How many other schools do you think have a player listed before Maryland gets in?
12.
There are 13 others, so.
11.
I'll say 10.
It's 12. Everyone but Nebraska has at least one player rated higher than Aaron Wiggins. A couple of weeks ago, we were going over the roster, Jeff, and I was telling you, I don't think it's as bad as it seems pretty good. Now I see this Bark Turvik stuff
digging in,
and I am now a little more discouraged.
You're shook now, aren't you?
Not shook, but yeah, it doesn't look as good. Of course, he's basing this on last year's statistics and projections. It's hard to know when Maryland is deferring everything to two guys in almost every situation. They're going to be gone, so it's hard to know what kind of jump some of these guys are going to have when they're now going to be in charge of taking over the reins of some of this.
That's the story right there. That's pretty much the story of Maryland.
That's the whole season, yeah.
You need everybody to make a jump. You need Wiggins, and we've discussed it, and I've written about it a million times. You need him to become a go-to. Or you need Morcell to continue his progression that he's pretty much made every year, which I think is a fairly safe bet. And you need more of a scorer. You need Mariel become a legit starting big man. You know, you need Ayala become a point guard, like your guy a point guard. So there's a lot of need this to happen involved. I mean, there's talent, you know, that's the good thing. It's not like a total rebuild. You have some nice pieces. You just need a lot of things to fall right.
Yeah, you've got the situation for me when I look at this roster is you've got a legit good tournament level 2 through 4 spots. It's the 1 where we don't know what we're going to get, and it's the 5 where we don't know what we're going to get. And whether Ayala can go from a guy who at times last year had some really excellent performances and look like a guy who could be your point guard and lead your team to a tourney berth, or he was just the inconsistent cat that he was the other half of the season or more. And at the 5, I mean, sure, Galen Smith could show up and maybe be another Boo Mosby type, where the stats and kind of everything else in the system that he was playing with in Alabama didn't fit him, but the guy can play ball. But again, you're counting on that. You're counting on Shaul Marial to actually be able to give you 20 good minutes and not just kind of as like a, you know, oh, look, here, go steal 10 minutes for me. I think that's the whole season to me. I'm not worried about what happens in between the 2 and 4 spots. You've got enough guys there.
Yeah, it's the 1 and the 5. That's it. That's the mystery.
Speaking of the minutes, I took a shot at a rotation in terms of minutes per player. Looked at last year to kind of get a reference. This is what I got. You guys tell me how wrong I am. And chat room, please laugh at me, which probably will happen. But I have Wiggins, Morcell, and Ayala basically all at 32 minutes. I've got Dante Scott and Jairus Hamilton at 24 each. Shaul Marial, 16. Hakeem Hart, 14. Galen Smith, 10. Marcus Dockery and Anquan Smart, 8 each.
I think that's pretty good at the beginning. I think at the end, Galen Smith is going to play more than that. I put him at like 20 minutes.
Okay. So who does he take minutes from then?
That's a good question. I don't know if those guys will play 32. They'll probably be closer to like 30. It's funny when you look at minutes, you're always like, this guy's really good. He'll play 35 minutes and then you look at the stats. at the end of the year and he played 29 per game, and you're like, what? Works out that way. So all those guys won't play 32. And I don't know if Dockery's going to play 8 minutes a game. Smart will play a lot more than him, I think. But otherwise, I think that's a pretty solid guess. You can get 20 points out of Mariel, though. That's
one of the reasons I put Hakeem Hart up at 14 and Dockery Dunn at 8 was because John Rothstein tweeted that delicately positioned informants in College Park have relayed that Hakeem Hart has been Maryland's preseason surprise, will be in Terps rotation, now stands 6'7". So is that for real? Are you hearing that too, Jeff? Or is he the...
That's not breaking news. That's been making the rounds forever, even since last season, that they really liked him in practice. He's just really raw. He was supposedly the youngest player in the Big Ten, so he looked pretty shaky when he did play, but he's grown about 6 feet or something, and they think he's going to be really good. I know a lot of people are skeptical because he got into a few games and just kind of lost his mind and took like a 30-foot lead here and there, but he can handle the ball really well for his size. Great high school player in a tough league. I think he was just young last year. That's not to say he's going to be a star this year, but I think he'll be like a legit rotation player.
Well, Hart's just another one of those guys where it's like, okay, is he going to make a jump to a serviceable Big Ten player or is he not? Like, you can't count on that. But no. if you're making an optimistic projection, you kind of hope he's a guy who can give you that 15 or 20 minutes somewhere.
Yeah, I think he will be, and I think Smart will play pretty good minutes. I don't think Dockery necessarily is going to be in the rotation, but you got Ayala. He's not going to play every minute at the point. And they really like Smart too. Smart and Hart, no pun intended. Those guys are kind of the sleepers that they seem to really like, but that's not worth anything to do it.
We have 4 minutes left before Naki's supposed to call in. We don't have control over that, so when he calls, we'll jump over. So last thing I wanted to do was go over win projections and get your guys' take on it. Bart Torvik, which is the site I really, really went to primarily, he has Maryland rated 70th in the country, has them going 13-14. I did see that KenPom has Maryland ranked 51st, but you cannot see the detailed statistics on his site unless you pay for the subscription, which I'm not going to do because that guy sighed all over the place when he was on our show. So,
dude, Larry remembers everything about the way somebody acts on the show.
You don't
Gary Williams / Michael Jordan like ability. Yeah.
And I took that personally.
No, I mean, it's fine.
Anyway, I don't forget that stuff.
Well, I did that year. I did a season highlight show, and as part of the highlights around Christmas time at the end of the year, and part of what I did was I took every one of his size and played them back to back, and it took about 15 seconds.
What was he crying about? He just didn't like our questions, or he just
yes, he was exhausted.
Was that the luck year? Was that the year that we were winning all the games?
Yes.
By luck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably assholes. I mean, let's be honest.
No, the questions were basically the gist of it was this: is it really luck, or is it possibly something else? Maybe your formula is wrong. It's kind of arrogant for you to call it luck if they don't.
The real story comes out, Larry. Why he was sighing? You acted like it was just he was just a jerk.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe your science is stupid
about his vendetta against Maryland.
Well, it's true, though. For him to call every variance from his formula, he calls it luck. That's pretty arrogant. It's not that my formula might have an issue. It's that this team got lucky or unlucky. I mean, come on. That's kind of ridiculous.
See, the thing is,
538 and all these pollsters should add the luck there.
Well, see, the thing is, I didn't hate the number, like what it represented. I hated that he called it luck.
Exactly my point.
Just, it represents teams that are good at winning close games, and that's not luck. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's not luck.
there's definitely something that could be said. Although the math might say you're wrong about that, Paul. If you're playing one and two possession games, you're going to win about half of them. And if you win 75%, you just got hit with the variance the right way.
Just lucky.
Yeah, you just got hit with the variance the right way, and that's what he would say.
Mind, and now you're backing up the luck.
Right. Anyway, he has Maryland at 51. I can't see the detailed statistics on the site because I didn't pay for it. I also found team ranking site, which has Maryland at 49. I didn't look for too many others. So they have them in that range. Basically, everybody has them around 13 wins, and I didn't see any site predict them to make the tournament. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
It's going to be tough. I mean, they're going to have to beat the odds to make the tournament. When you look at the reality of at least the perception, right? They're 10th in every poll, it seems like. I'm not going to go back to all the things that need to happen right. They have places in place, but nobody's picking them in the tournament. You know, I think some of those things, if half of those things happen, like point guard thing and aerial and Wiggins taking the next step, then yeah, they are a tournament team, but it's hard to bet on right now, especially as good as the Big Ten is. Big Ten is loaded.
Paul, agree?
Yeah, I think basically when we talk about things that'll have to go right, a lot of them will have to go right for this team to make the tournament. I think that's representative of how strong the conference is, and just the fact that I think two of the most important positions on the court, the one and the five, they've just got big blaring sirens going off because we just don't know whether they've got the guys in there that can pull it off. And the other thing is, if you want to get around the five, you know, Turge has not always wanted to go small. And even if you do, I'm not sure Hamilton and Scott are the types of guys who can pull it off. But I don't know. We've been wrong before. I would assume 500 or below in conference and maybe the tail end of the bubble.
That 2-4 with Wiggins, Morsell, Scott, and Hamilton is really solid.
Let's hope you're right, Paul. Naki just tried to join. Let's admit him into the chat. But we are joined by Maryland Terrapins Radio Network color analyst Chris Naki. It's great to have you on the show with us. Jeff Ehrman, Paul Douglas, and myself, Larry France, are here. Thank you for joining us. You're always gracious with your time, Chris.
I love it. Every time I'm on with you guys, I have a lot of fun.
Yeah, we love having you too. And I lost track of the number of times you've been on the show, but you're by far the leader. So you can put that feather in your cap.
So I got that
on your LinkedIn page, Chris.
Yeah, yes.
It's on the Hall of Fame resume.
Yes. So we are doing our basketball preview show tonight, Chris, because the season starts in 2 days, hopefully. And so the first thing I just wanted to ask you about was that exactly. Hopefully we're starting. Hopefully everyone's starting. It's got COVID. We don't know what's going to happen with that. What are you expecting in terms of a season this year with everything going on?
You know what, man? The season is the season. I just want to play. I worry every day I wake up that there will be, you know, mad and mass cancellations. I saw where UVA in Florida canceled this morning, and that just really concerns me. So I just – whatever happens during the season is going to happen during the season. I just want there to be a season. And hopefully we can get to Wednesday and then to Friday and then to Sunday and move forward from there.
Chris, we were just discussing the same thing that pretty much everybody talks about this team, which is the one and the five. You know, you got pretty good guys at 2-4, but then one and the five. How do you feel about those spots with Ayala kind of taking that main guy role and Quan Smart obviously is getting a lot of attention, and the five, which, you know, nobody knows what to expect out of Mariel. I think they're going to be, you know, passable at least at those spots.
Well, I think first of all, and I, you know, because of COVID, I haven't had a chance to get to practice. So I'm only going on intel that I get. I do get a chance to talk to some of the staff periodically. You're going to see Galen Smith starting at that five spot. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, he's I think he's been far better in practice than they would have expected, and really, you know, has done a nice job. A far more mobile, and you know, gives them a lot more than they had anticipated. So that's fine. Guys come and go, and sadly, you know, you never get enough 2,000 point scorers. But Anthony Cowan is gone, and the fact of the matter is that, you know, the really cool the tough thing about college basketball is that some of your favorite guys do go, you know, they leave. But the cool thing is that you figure out new guys to root for, and guys ascend, and guys fill spots and fill the vacuum. And I'm hoping that's the case for Eric. I love the guy. He's not gonna be that style guard that Anthony is, but he's certainly capable in his own way. And those three guys, Ayala, Wiggins, and Daryl Morcell, you know, obviously they form the backbone of your team. And I have a lot of confidence in them. You know, I think one of the things that goes a long way, this is a freaking brutal Big Ten. The league is loaded. And it might be one of those things where, you know, you go 10-10 and think you had a hell of a year, and that makes you like a 9 seed. You know, I mean, it could conceivably be that kind of year. But one of the things that sustains me in a situation like this is that these guys are used to winning. And I know that sounds stupid, but if you've been in a locker room and if you've been part of a culture or developing a culture, that's a part of it, is they expect to win. That doesn't mean they walk out there and they automatically win, but that there's a big part of the expectations are set. And I like that for this team. I think it's important for them. And hey, you know, Eric will never be Anthony Cowan, but he just has to be Eric. He'll be fine.
Hey, Chris, so obviously you just get into it, you know, losing Anthony and Jalen Smith. I mean, you're talking 45 points a game on the court. I'm kind of curious off the court, like, who are the guys that are going to step up and be the leaders on this team and try and find a way to keep this kind of winning culture going on, you know, with some obvious holes in the roster now?
Well, I would think it would be those three guys I just mentioned. Daryl Morcell is kind of the pit bull of the crew, and you need to have that kind of element, you know, that kind of guy, that kind of attitude. So that's good. From what I understand about Aaron during the course of practice is that he has been, you know, when he's been good, he has been great. And when he has not been good, he has, conversely, it's been sort of a feast or famine thing for him. So they need a big year out of Aaron. I don't think, you know, this is not some revelation. You know, I mean, he's an incredible talent, a great one-on-one player, a terrific shooter. But this is when you separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. And so he'll, you know, it's cool because, again, this is part of what we watch college basketball for, is to see who ascends and see, you know, see how guys fill the void. And hopefully those guys will do it.
We are speaking with Merrill Tilburn's radio network color analyst, Chris Nockey. Chris, how are the broadcasts going to work this year? There's no fans in the stadium, I think. You guys will be there, correct? And you'll just do a normal show like you normally do, just but with nobody there.
I think we're doing the games from Bentley's, actually.
That sucks.
Well, like you said, you hadn't been there because of COVID, but you'll go for the games, I assume?
And yeah, so here's the way, and this is sort of hot off the press for me. They have set up two different suites on the side of the benches where the benches are. Walt and I, Johnny and the engineer and our stat guy will be in one suite. Walt and I will be in the other suite. And so, you know, the good news is there'll be social distancing. The really good news is that I would expect by December, Walt and I will have flasks in that second suite. the issues really come on the away games. So you may have seen some chatter about the way they're handling football. Football is done. The away games for football are actually done from the media room at Xfinity. And I think we're going to be doing that similarly. But I think this is all a work in progress. I think, you know, again, this is the new frontier. We're trying to figure it out. My phone does not ring when they're making these chances, these decisions, rather, excuse me. So I think that's the way it's going to work out. We'll do the home games from the suites up top at Xfinity, the away games from Media Room, and we'll see. Hopefully it's a short-lived thing.
How weird and, like, eerie is that going to be? Because football, you know, they obviously pump the crowd noise in, and it's been – you kind of get used to it after a while. But college basketball is, like, more reliant and more – in tune with just that crowd energy than any other sport. Do you think it's going to be like, that could hurt Maryland, I would think. You know, they feast so much on that home court advantage that they have.
Yeah, Jeff, I think honestly that's one of those, you know, double-edged sword things. I mean, conversely, we don't have to deal with that as at Assembly Hall. You know, we don't have to deal with that in Lincoln. That's not to say Nebraska's a great team, but they have a great fan base. So those things even out a little bit. Again, can't control that. It's going to be a little odd. And I don't know how they're going to handle the crowd noise. I listened to a football broadcast a couple of weeks ago. I think they were playing Penn State when they went up at Penn State. And I thought they did a really nice job of piping in some of the ambient noise on the field, whether it's officials' calls or whatever. I have no idea how we'll do this. We're sort of flying blind right now. And my guess is that we'll figure it out on the way. That's kind of what you do.
Basically, the whole theme of this season is it's better than nothing, right? That's pretty much it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, how about that, man? Perspective is everything. You know, I know everybody, you know, lives to love this team and the program and stuff like that. I mean, I just think it's kind of one of those things where, you know, your whole attitude should be about gratitude. I'm excited to be there and be a part of it. And it's a reminder, too, to never take this shit for granted. Exactly. Excuse me. Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, you are. Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
You're talking to us, man.
Sometimes you go to work, you think it's a birthright. It's not a birthright. It never was, never will be. And so it's exciting to be back in the gym. I want to go to bed early tonight so I can get up tomorrow and make sure nothing happened and that we can continue to move forward one day closer to playing on Wednesday.
Before you go, Paul, let me just, Chris, you asked if you're allowed to say that. Let me play a clip of Chris Nockey from our live Looney show in 2017.
How many beers have you had? Because that's the stupidest fucking question anybody's ever asked.
There you go.
There's a chance he was talking to Paul right there.
He was definitely talking to Paul. That was after about three shots, by the way.
I was young and impetuous back then.
Yeah, Chris Nockey 3 years ago, just out of control. Like, couldn't even keep him in the seat. All right, Chris, back to things that are slightly happier. There are some new guys that Maryland fans aren't familiar with, and I know you're not at practice to watch them with your own eyes, but you're also getting intel from the coaches and staff. Like, who's a guy who's really good to impress and show Maryland fans something that they might not expect this year?
Well, one of these guys, I think Jeff, or I don't know who mentioned Smart's name. I think Jeff did. Aquan Smart has done a really nice job in practice. I think Galen Smith, from what I'm understanding, has been really, really good. And I think, too, that if we do the math, and I'm sure you already have, so if you have Galen Smith, who's like a five-man, and perhaps you're starting five-man, and you've got those three guards – right, that we talked about as kind of the backbone of the team, the math tells you that there are two guys vying for, you know, the four spot, and whether it's Jarius Hamilton or Dante Scott, and so these are guys that are, you know, multi-position players. I don't think you have a bad choice in that situation, but one of those guys is going to be your sixth man, which is fine. I mean, to me, like, to meet Dante Scott is your kind of your Swiss Army knife guy. You're a guy you could employ and deploy in a lot of different positions. So, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with him being your sixth man. But I think those guys have really done a great job. They've established themselves. I think one of the great variables and the great question marks is what you get out of Shoal. You know, he'll never be. He's got issues, and I'll be the first. I mean, I'm not telling tales out of school. I mean, if you push him off the block, he's going to be limited. I think his hands are okay. They're not great. So you've got issues right there to start. If he catches the ball around the rim, around the basket, he's a problem for the defense. And on the other side, defensively, he'll protect the rim for you. So can you get away with playing him for 2.5-3 minutes at a time, getting him out, getting him rested, and then using him again, you know, 4 or 5 minutes later? That's kind of one of your great variables, because you look around college basketball and there's some cool stories and there are a lot of question marks, but there ain't a whole lot of Schultz. So, you know, that's a part of the equation too. And I don't know the answer. You guys are every bit as smart as I am. We'll see what happens. It'd be kind of cool to, that's part of, you know, the fun of this is seeing how it unfolds.
Well, that's kind of the other.
He just turned into a 7-foot Joe Smith this year out of the blue.
I'm sorry, say it again, Jeff.
I said, how cool would that be if he just turned into a 7-foot Joe Smith this year?
Yeah, okay. I'm good with that. I'm totally good with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? If he wants to go on and be the first pick of the draft next year, I'm totally good with that.
I mean, I don't know if you knew this, but he was once a 5-star recruit.
Number one recruit in the country, right?
I've heard that.
Center.
All right, Chris, we are going to do true or false. I'm going to read 5 statements about Maryland basketball, and you reply with true or false. You can expound if you want. Maryland will not have any players make an All-Big Ten team this year.
I guess false.
Okay.
Let me expand. Okay.
Okay.
I think that you'll get some guys who make an All-Big Ten. Does that include defensive teams?
Because sure.
I think their Daryl Morsell would be an All-Defensive candidate for sure. By the way, let me digress. I had a no-gel Eastern sighting, speaking of defense.
Wow.
I was at a Howard practice yesterday. I'm doing a couple of games for TV this weekend. Howard is one of those teams I'm doing. And no-gel still hasn't made a jumper outside of 3 feet. But yeah. Damn, can he play defense. He is a great, great, great defender. So, but the answer to your question is false. I think you will have some postseason accolades.
Okay.
So Howard has the big kid, right? Maker?
Yeah, Makur Maker.
How does he look?
He looks like his rep, you know, where he is one of those guys that has to decide how hard he wants to play. Howard's never had a player like that. I mean,
no, I wouldn't think so.
6'10", 6'11", with arms that make him like 7'4", plays inside, plays out. He wants to play out. I just don't know how interested he is in being really, really good. But he is one of those guys that I would take. I mean, yeah. He is a talented guy.
Okay, true or false number 2, Maryland will play every game on their schedule this season.
No, false.
Number 3, the Big Ten Conference this season is the best you've ever seen it.
Back up. Let's go back to number 2.
Okay.
They will play every game on the Big Ten schedule. They will not. My prediction is they will not play all the games on the non-conference schedule. And
okay.
The answer to number 3 is an easy true. No question true. Lock true.
How about best conference period, not just Big Ten?
Better than those old ACC?
Yeah, that's not better than the early 2000s ACC, but it's good.
Wait, we used to be in the ACC? So I'm going to say it's on par, right? I it's hard. I hate to compare eras. I don't do that with NBA guys and NBA players. I'm going to say it's definitely on par. No question about it.
Okay, number four, next year's recruiting class, which as of now consists of Reese Graham and Cornish, and will likely expand. Will in the future be considered Turgeon's best ever at Maryland?
Yeah, I would say true, and I would say I'm going to give you guys a technical basketball term. Okay.
Okay.
A couple of these guys are motherfuckers.
I knew. That.
Yeah, I love it.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
Oh,
come on, Chris.
And every team needs some of them, man.
Yes.
I think you'll be very pleased.
Excellent, excellent. Number five, Maryland will make the NCAA tournament this season.
Absolutely. True. No question. You don't go in ever expecting not to get there. There's no question about it.
Okay. Excellent, Chris. Thank you for joining us. Jeff, Paul, you got anything else before we let him go?
What else do we got for him? No, I think we covered it all.
Just good luck, man. I can really imagine how hard it is trying to call a game from a monitor too. Like that away game stuff's going to be really tough.
So. Yeah.
Best of luck, man.
Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate it. I just hope that Jeff got my routing number and my count number. So we're good here.
Yes, yes. We'll be there. I think there's a banking holiday the next day and the day after that. But try out.
All right, boys.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, man.
Awesome, as always. Thank you. And that was Chris Nockey. Man, he is always a pleasure to have on the show. Full of funny quips. He's always busting on Paul and Jeff, so I love that.
You can see him loading up the motherfucker line, and it was perfect.
Yes.
I felt that one. Yep. And he's right. There's a difference between kind of the finesse guy who's a solid but quiet, and then like James Graham, we were talking to him. He said, "Yes, with these other guys on the AAU circuit, you know, he wants."
Kevin Herter and Anthony Cowan were in the same class, so for them to be the best, they'd have to be better than that. And Justin Jackson.
That's a pretty good class.
Yeah.
Cowan, Herter, and was there a fourth guy?
Probably was, but those are the three big that were in that class together. That's going to be tough to beat.
The year after that, they had Morcell and Fernando, which is
pretty good.
Two guys.
That turned out all right.
Yeah, he only had two players, so that kind of didn't that work? Yeah. I always go back to that should have or was supposed to be the best was that first one with Lehman, Kip Thier, Seth Allen, Charles Mitchell, and Sam Cassell was part of it originally. Somebody who actually did make it in.
Yeah, there were five of them, I think, in that class.
Yeah, it was a really good class.
It felt like it was going to be good.
Who was the guy who ended up at Texas, the big center from that class?
Shaq Clear.
Oh, yeah.
He was very highly rated and a great kid.
But did not turn out that well on the court.
Not good at basketball.
No.
Yeah.
Like, he was the second guy we thought would be Lonnie Baxter was Braxton Dupree, and he was garbage. And then we thought Shaq Clear would be the next one, and he was also garbage.
Yeah, I was surprised when he said yes to that question that it would be the best recruiting class, but happy to hear it.
Well, I mean, it's
had one monster class. You know, their star players have kind of been spaced out.
Yeah,
that Cowan, Herter, Jackson class, which would have been great if Jackson didn't just leave for no reason whatsoever. And if Herter hadn't caught fire one day at the combine, that class could have been legendary.
Also, him saying that Big Ten this year is on par with those great ACC conferences, I will say this about that. There's no way if the teams both played in their primes that the Big Ten teams would beat the ACC teams because they had seniors and sophomores who would have left and been lottery picks who stayed back then. So these teams couldn't beat them. However, in terms of the stature compared to the rest of the country, yes. When you're talking about 10 teams getting votes, ACC never had 10 get votes.
I would say the Big Ten is deeper than most, but like, there's no way you put up this Big Ten against the ACC in 2001, 2002, 2003. Well, I mean, you were looking at like five to six top 10 quality teams in those conferences.
Yeah. Wait. And Maryland's no.
Gary Stackhouse, Anton Jameson, Tim Duncan.
That was 90s. That was
90s. No, I'm talking about 2000.
No, in 2002, when they won the title, there were like three good ACC teams. You remember that was when North Carolina was down?
But Virginia was top five.
No, not that year. No, it was Duke and Maryland and like one or two other teams, and that's it. Go back and look. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Julius Hodge, Enginatzer, NC State teams.
That's 90s. That's late 90s and maybe up to 2000. In 2002, are we gonna put another bottle of scotch on this?
It's making me mad because Larry's voice is just louder than everybody's in this
broadcast. Is it?
Yes.
Sorry.
That's all right. But like,
no, the year they won the title, the ACC was very top heavy with Maryland and Duke, and then there was not a lot else.
Okay, that's 1 year, though, for the most part.
For a couple years there, because Carolina was down when Matt Daugherty took over right around that time. They were awful for a few years, and it took them a while to get back. And the ACC as a whole looked a lot like ACC football right now, where they're super top-heavy and then a lot of mediocrity. I'm telling you, man.
I don't know. Those years, that decade blends together for me.
All right. Chat room, back me up. Maybe I'm wrong. That's how I remember it.
I know that the year that Maryland won the tournament title was ridiculous too, because you had they were like the sixth seed or something, and and all the other teams were way better.
Yeah.
How many lottery picks are in the Big Ten right now? You know,
Garza.
He's not. He's probably not going to be.
Lottery. Yeah, he's not a lottery pick.
No.
I mean, he could be a first rounder. He's so productive, but they don't like seniors who they've seen for 4 years.
Everybody talks about him. That's why.
He's a great college player. I mean, he's going to be the player of the year. I would bet, but
I don't look at the NBA.
From Illinois, will be a lottery pick. He might be the only one.
Yeah, I don't look at the NBA mock drafts, so I don't really know that. But Luke Garzaby's talking about as the college player of the year, maybe.
He's an incredible player.
He's great at basketball. I don't think he's an NBA lock. I mean, I don't know. The NBA is a place that I don't understand anymore, so I don't try to. But he's great at college basketball.
Yeah. Florida State, who went like top five and was the sixth man at Florida State last year.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense to me, so I stopped trying.
So we have a few minutes left here. Let's quickly do some football at the end of this show here. I know it was our basketball preview show, but Maryland did practice today, correct, Jeff?
Correct.
So give me your percent chance that they're going to play the game this weekend against Indiana.
85% chance.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, okay. I think it'll happen. And the only way it doesn't happen is if there's another breakout, but they've had enough time to quarantine and get it all kind of straightened out, so... unless something else happens, they'll play. Whether that's a good thing against a really good team with a whole bunch of guys out, which we still don't know how many are out and who they are. You know, I don't know. But.
Well, I mean, I was trying to do some math on this earlier. Like, I'm not quite sure how this works. I mean, if Maryland's got, 23 guys total who have tested positive?
Not much chance of a win.
That's since after the Penn State game, which was exactly 2 weeks and 2 days ago at this point. So, 3 weeks from Penn State until the Indiana game, which to me, given the 21-game thing, means that none of those 23 guys could play against Indiana unless they do, right? Like, it doesn't seem like we have a lot of answers, and maybe that's the point. But
yeah, they don't want to say who is out and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's very secretive, and Loxley doesn't like to show his hand. He doesn't like to give out give the opposing team too much info anyways. You remember the
he's such a fridge guy.
Yeah,
he's such a fridge thing.
Probably got a lot of it from Saban and quarterback thing. I mean, we all knew it was Tua Bailoa, but he was still playing it like it was either or. So
I would like to thank Apocalypse Dude in the chat for looking up some information for me. I'll read exactly what he said. Larry is right. Duke, Maryland, then Wake was 9-7, NC State okay. After that, garbage. UNC was 4-12 in the conference that year. Maryland and Duke were both 15-1. So,
I was talking about like the early 2000s, not just the Natty year, but that's also why I didn't bet a bottle of scotch on it. So, whatever.
It was a couple years like that. But for the most part, yes, the ACC was the gauntlet back then, especially in the 90s before everybody left after their first year. Joe Smith stayed for 2 years. My God.
See, the thing that sticks out to me is that year with all the point guards, you know, because you had Duhon and Gilchrist and Jarrett Jack at Georgia Tech, and you had Chris Paul and you had Julius Hodge, like all those guys playing together. I feel like I seem to remember all those teams being really good at the same time, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Raymond Felton, was that Felton was there? I don't know.
That's a good pull. Wow, Paul.
That was my time, man. That was my prime. It's been downhill ever since for me.
Remember when everyone hated Julius Hodge because did he punch Steve Blake in the nuts? Isn't that what it was?
Yeah. He punched Steve Blake in the nuts, and then didn't Chris Paul get Hodge?
Chris Paul was a known nut puncher. He did it several times, and in the NBA, I think.
Yeah, that's not cool. I think Paul got Hodge once, and that kind of broke the internet back then.
All right. So we have some level of confidence Maryland's going to play this week, although they're playing Indiana, who looks amazing, and they're going to be down 23 players, so not super, super confident about a win, but get back on the field. ESPN FPI is saying Maryland's going to finish 3-4 this year. That would count the crossover game. Would you take that, Paul?
No, I would not take that at this point. I mean, if it's take that or play, I would obviously not take the lose out scenario.
No, 3-4 when they're 2-1, so that would give them one win, which would likely be Rutgers. They'd lose Indiana, Michigan in the crossover.
No, I mean, Michigan's garbage.
Yeah, they are not very good. Okay. I have Maryland rank 'em for you guys. I'm going to give you a list of Maryland related items, and you're going to have to rank them based on some criteria. I have six, so be three for each of you guys. We have three basketball, two football, and one special one for Paul at the end. Okay.
Rank the Vong Fumi sisters.
No, the Ludovicas. Remember them too. Okay.
The Ludovicas. That's right.
Yes, there were two girls on the women's golf team named Ludovica. Ludovica Scandrolio and Ludovica Farina. I still remember.
How do you know that?
I just remember. I don't know. I just do. Okay. Jeff, rank these four Maryland basketball players in terms of rebounds per game this season. In alphabetical order, Jairus Hamilton, Shaul Merriel, Dante Scott, Galen Smith.
That's good. Wow. I will say Galen Smith, Dante Scott, Jairus Hamilton, and then Shaul Merriel.
Because Smith and Scott are going to start, so therefore they're going
to play more minutes, and Shaul, there's such a good chance that he's still going to need another year to come along. And Dante Scott is, he's undersized, but he's just a warrior, so.
Okay. Paul, rank these potential season outcomes for the football team in order of your most preferred. There's no season at all. I'm sorry, basketball outcomes, not football. Sorry. Basketball outcomes. There's no season at all. Or it's so much of it is canceled that it becomes irrelevant is the first option. Number two, Maryland underachieves this season. Three, Maryland does it as expected. And four, Maryland overachieves. And we kind of went over this, why you might not really want Maryland to overachieve, but go ahead.
I mean, come on, man. I'm still a Maryland guy. I obviously overachieve would be the best option. And every single time. It just would. you know.
How about instead of your most preferred, how about most likely? That's a better way to ask that.
Most likely. Okay.
Yes.
We're talking. All right.
Yeah, there we go. I messed up.
I think most likely, I think they're just going to play to expectations. I think they'll be a, you know, bottom level, you know, edge of the bubble kind of team that might put together a little win streak here and there and get your hopes up. But I just don't think they're going to have it in this conference this year. After that would probably be overachieve. Maybe everything comes together and they make it happen. Third rank would probably be underachieve. I just think there's too much talent to be on this team and not, you know, at least get to 500 or so. And then I think basketball season is just so long and you know, they can fit so many games in together when they need to. They'll be able to get a season in one way or the other.
Okay. Jeff, rank these 2020 recruits most likely to commit to Maryland. And these are recruits in the 2022 class that are listed as high priority for Maryland on 24/7 Sports. And they have Maryland as warm in their rating. There are four of them in alphabetical order. Noah Batchelor. Now I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Don't laugh at me. Sadarak Nganga. Is that close? Jairus Walker and Chance Westry.
This is in terms of Maryland's chances?
Yes, most likely to least.
Batchelor. The Sadriq kid I would put last because he's like star. There's been talk about going straight to the G League with him. The catch there is that Bruno Fernando is like his best friend. So, you know, they're hoping that.
Worked out with D'Souza.
Yeah, worked out great. Very everybody. And then Jairus Walker, I would put third. They're in with him, but he's that five-star kind of. Actually, it's funny you say that because Colby is going to have an update on him either tomorrow, sometime this week soon. And who's the other?
Chance Westry.
Westry, I guess I would put second because they've been in on him since the start. He's really good, five-star kind of guard from Pennsylvania. Vino was in on him before anybody else. The catch with him is that he moved out to California to play at Sierra Canyon with LeBron James' kid.
So what's that order again? Batchelor 1, Westry 2.
Batchelor 1, Westry 2, Jairus Walker 3, and Sadriq. I'm not even going to try his last
name. Is it Sadriq? It doesn't look like that. Nganga?
It doesn't matter. He's not coming to Maryland.
He's fourth. Yeah. Okay. Well, he's listed as warm. Okay. All right. We got it. Okay. Paul, rank these football freshmen in order of best career at Maryland. And I think these are the four that have really shown the best so far this season in those three games. In alphabetical order, Penny Boone, Ruben Hippolyte, Rakim Jarrett, Tarheed Still.
All right. I think Jared, I think, is obviously number one. I think he's a three-year player in the NFL. He's just got all the tools that you need to succeed at that level. Probably Still, I think, might be my second one. He's just so natural. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the fastest guy, but he's just really good. His technique is excellent. And, you know, I just think he could be like a Dominique Foxworth type guy that maybe even plays 4 years, but goes in the NFL and succeeds. Hippolyte, number three. He's just the prototypical new age middle linebacker. I think we'll see a lot more of him as the season goes on and maybe passes some of those guys in front of him. And then Penny Boone, who I still think could be quite good. I mean, you saw some of his ability with his hands and his feet when he got out in space. And I think when he gets a full year of strength and conditioning and diet taken care of, he's going to be unstoppable.
Unstoppable. So four pretty good players there, by the way.
I think a lot of, there's a lot to be excited about with the freshman class.
Yeah. Okay, Jeff. There have been a lot of really impact community college transfers to Maryland this year. So rank these four in order of biggest impact. In alphabetical order, Ja'Cory Bennett, Jahari Branch, Ami Finau, and Mosiah Nasilikite. Is that how you say that? I think so.
Yeah, not bad.
That's really good and really tough because the sample size is so small with three games. I don't know really where to rank Branch because the offensive line has been really good, but I haven't like zoomed in on him. I would put Bennett first because he's been pretty solid. He's their first or second best corner, which is obviously the most valuable or one of the most valuable positions. So I'd go him first. I guess I would put Branch in second because the offensive line's been so good. He hasn't been noticeable, which is a good thing for an offensive lineman. I'll put Kite probably third. He's made several plays. He had good plays against Penn State. And then Finau's been solid, you know, taking up space, but he hasn't. He did have actually he had a play or two that kind of popped against Penn State, too, but he hasn't really, you know, he's just kind of been a space filler. So I'll go probably Bennett, Branch, and Finau.
Well, they'll all be back. I think Finau's a sophomore. The others are juniors. Or maybe it was Nasilikite was the sophomore. One of them's a sophomore. The rest are juniors. And this year doesn't count anyway, right? So, okay, last one. Paul, since you are the tailgater extraordinaire, rank these drinking games in order of best to worst. In alphabetical order, asshole, beer pong, never have I ever, quarters, and slap cup.
It's beer pong and everybody else, man. It's just, there's no contest. I have nothing else to say. It's just beer pong. Beer pong's the best, and there's really no replacing it. Indoor, outdoor, doesn't matter. You're the good editor, you're not, and the better you are, the more you make your friends drink and puke. It's fun.
It was a little bit of a punt there, Paul.
Sorry, man. That you're making me now. You made me remember like an extra thing that was five, not four. I don't know. To be honest, like I never played much asshole or like the card games. Quarters is fun, but it gets a little repetitive. What were the other options?
Never have I ever in slap cup, which I thought you would like as well. By the way,
slap cup is fine. I don't know. I feel like beer pong requires an amount of skill that it's like a true determination of not only your kind of hand-eye coordination but ability to drink. Whereas you know
and maintain your hand-eye coordination while you drink.
Exactly. Whereas some people I know actually better the drunker they are, which you know boggles the mind.
Cooters a little bit too, right? Because you have to bounce it properly to get it in the glass.
Right, but I feel like there's much more of a luck element there. You know, it's really with beer pong, it kind of combines all of the greatness that's required. At a tailgate, it can be a spectator sport. Like, you can do it outside. Like, you don't have a lot of requirements other than cups, beer, and ping pong. So, I can't say
Paul
enough.
Paul used to throw some kick-ass tailgates back in younger years.
Did I forget any drinking games? I think I got most of the.
I mean, slap cup, flip cup.
Flip cup is what it is, not slap cup. What am I talking about?
Flip. I've heard people call it slap cup. It's the same.
Flip cup. What am I? I even put it in alphabetical order that way at the end. So, what am I talking about? It is flip cup.
That's how long it's been since Larry's played drinking games.
I used to do in college. We used to do a version of quarters called Battleship, where there were two person teams. Each team would have four glasses. Each, all in a row in front of you, each filled with beer, and there were two quarters going at once. Each team would start with one. The idea was to hit every single one of the other cups from the other team, and the first team to knock out all four of the cups would win. And we would have tournaments, and like it was craziness, and you get really, really drunk even when you win that game. That was a lot of fun.
No, a lot of that stuff's fun. I know, like asshole always bothered me, like because I never cared for the card games. Like I wanted there to be physical activity, and that was part of like getting everybody riled up and having fun. But
Wit in the chat room said thumper, which I kind of remember. Is it you're like banging and you have to do something in rhythm? Is that what that is? I don't quite remember thumper all that well.
I don't know, man. The details are a little fuzzy here for a lot of this stuff.
Would you consider? Oh, what is it called? Why I'm getting old. Here I am. I'm going senile, guys. The game where you got the bean bags and you toss them to the other...
Cornhole.
Cornhole, yes. Would you consider cornhole a drinking game or just... No, yeah.
No. That's a game you drink while you're playing, but there's no concept. Yeah.
Did you see when ESPN had the National Cornhole Championships on?
I did. Yeah, and
the like, really dark days of the quarantine.
Yeah.
Those guys are crazy, man. They make every shot. It's unbelievable. Well,
it's like when you watch like the Irish Dart Championships or something. Like those dudes are just killing it every time. And like all it takes is one miss and you're out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was that. Marilyn Rankum. Loved having Chris Nocchi on the show. He was great as always.
And then next week, hopefully, we'll have a couple different games to talk about.
Hopefully, we'll have a couple of games to talk about. What is Maryland's basketball? Are they only playing the one game this week? Hang on, let me look. Yeah, oh no, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. They could have three games in the next 6 days. Old Dominion, Navy, Mount St. Mary. So there could be three basketball games this week to talk about.
Content, and more content.
That's right.
Yes, and then, of course, Maryland, Indiana football, hopefully. To end the show this week, I'm going to go back for more nostalgia. Though I did a song called We Are Terrapins. It's to the tune of It's the End of the World as We Know It from REM. And it's basically the history of Maryland basketball. And so we will end the show on that this evening. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Thank you, Chris Nocchi. We'll see you guys next week.
Terps Greats, it starts with a coach. H. Burton Shipton, Bosey Berger, two-time All-American. When the 30s began, Southern Conference champions, Richie Coliseum, then Bud Milliken headed up the Coalfield House, ACC. In the 50s, first turning Wu and Gene Chu. Higher and then higher, they went in the 70s, UCLA of the East, Madness at midnight. But they got them coming in a hurry like Ernie Graham and Tommy Mick. Many of them were Albert King and Bob Williams, Box, we got John Lucas, amen, uh-oh, moment pro 74, change of turning, greatest game in history, declining entity in the 80s, left the feuder with Dean Branch, Regis jersey in the Raptors at my right, then tragedy, bias, OD, no more tourney, death, penalty, it was the end of the Terps as we knew it, there were better times bad, but we didn't know it. And Chucky was fouled, and you know it, we are terrapins. Transfer sanctions, Bubba Williams was the man, Gary Williams returned, second prison hit, turning bruises with a uniform and fist, bumping jackets, sweating, triple trouble, motivate, Stevie Francis elevate, fear the total final four with team, more than down low, Ronnie back to crunch, crush, and Steve Clay, that's a 1-for-3-1 seed, then beat Indy, tournament, the tournament, the tournament champs, the kids had done it, Wilcox dunks and oh, he steal, it was the end of the dream for termination. Through our willpower and determination, we were the champs of the entire nation. We are terrapins. Terrapins. Na na na, hey, you suck. Na na na, hey, you suck. And you. From tragedy to triumph was a glory. It was our destiny, redemption story. No one else believed, we just fought for it. We are terrapins. Go back home, hello, Conquest, Closer, Peter, Nicholas, MVP, John Gill, Chris.
Greatest basket!
Under Armour, Marcus, Jump by ACC, hello, Big Frank, I'm Hansen, Game, Extreme, the team, Desimella, first team, the 2016 turning champs, Maryland, right?
Right!
It is the now end of the weekend as they know it's stone. Because the Terrapins are gonna own it. Mark your name, man.